Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks so much for tuning in to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance on this very first weekend of the month of February 2024. Hard to believe January is already behind us, but we are here today to share with you some memories. My father went home to be with the Lord in the month of February of the year 2000, so we're featuring sermons preached by my dad during the entire month of February. And this first weekend, we're going to share one of his signature sermons called An Inheritance That Fadeth Not Away. Of course, we can't get the entire sermon on one program, but most of it will be played. And if you would like your copy, you can write to me and request it. There's no charge. We just ask that you consider giving a gift to help defray some of the cost of putting this program on the radio each week. And you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Be glad to send you the sermon out in CD format as soon as we get your request. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for our listening audience today, for those who listen faithfully and those who might just have happened on the program today. Would you bless the message and the music to the listener? I ask that, Father, in your Son's precious name. Be with those who are sick and shut in, who need a special touch. Maybe they're struggling. And I believe, Father, that you can meet their need as well. And I pray that you would do just that. Again, I ask it all in the wonderful name, the strong name of Jesus. Amen. In this month of February, I'm involved in revival meetings. February 4 to 7, Spencer, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. And then February 16 to 18, traveling down to Cullman, Alabama, for a weekend revival at the Church of the Nazarene. Then February 21 to 25, Wednesday through Sunday, Marksville, Louisiana, again at the Church of the Nazarene. So I do covet your prayers as I travel to these locations for the purpose of revival in the local church. We do need your help as always. We say it almost every week on the program. Without the help of the listening audience, we could not produce or put this program on this radio station. So we need your help. Would you pray about sending a letter and enclose a gift? The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org. You can give through the Venmo or PayPal tabs on the opening page. Thanks so much.
I stood upon a sandy bank, looking out across the ocean. I watched the ships come safely in to rest upon the shore. The friends of those aboard her were gathered there to greet them. It made me long for heaven, where friends will part no more. I'm sailing toward home on the old ship of Zion. I see the lights upon the bank across the misty foam. Angels guide my vessel till I'm safe within the harbor. Captain, guide my ship till I get home. My dad sailed the seas of life. He knew the storms I'd weather. He told me of a Savior who could chart my destiny. Now the misty veil has lifted. I can plainly see the harbor. Dad is standing on the bank to smile and welcome me. I'm sailing toward home on the old ship of Zion. I see the lights upon the bank across the misty foam. Angels guide my vessel till I'm safe within the harbor. Captain, guide my ship till I get home. Captain, guide my ship till I get home.
In the first chapter of the first epistle of Peter, I read our scripture lesson this morning, and I begin reading with verse 3. I shall not read all the verses, but some selected verses from this chapter. And if it's convenient, keep your Bibles open after we've read the word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. These selected verses from the first chapter of the first epistle of Peter. I want to form our text out of the statement found in verse 4. And the text will simply read like this: to an inheritance that fadeth not away. To an inheritance that fadeth not away. I'm sure that many of you in this great audience this Lord's Day morning, when you have read this passage of Scripture, recognize the tremendous hope that is revealed in the content of truth that gives to us the assurance of an everlasting inheritance when it's over in this life. If I were to ask you, do you want to go to heaven? I'm sure that you would feel that I was a little absurd to propose such a question as that to an audience of people that are associated with the evangelical church and endorse the Wesleyan persuasion. I'm confident today that in the minds of each of you, your intentions are that at some time before it's too late, you're going to make the proper preparation to live in that celestial city that He is preparing for those that love Him. After the final curtain rings down, we come face to face with the last ebb tide of life and make our entrance into the blissful presence of our Lord. Your intentions are that that's going to be the destiny of your soul. But I'm glad to tell you that the wonderful truth that is revealed in this passage this morning, and especially those areas that I read in your hearing, do not necessarily imply all of the glory and the inheritance will be received after we leave this life. I made up my mind 45 years ago that I was going to see what was inside the city of God. I set my face like a flint toward that celestial city and intend by His mercy and by His grace to be in that number when He calls His children home, when He comes back after His chosen bride. I've never been to a city in all the years of my ministry, and I've traveled in 39 states, Canada and Cuba. I've never been to a city where there wasn't a fevered brow, where eyes didn't get dim and hearing didn't get difficult, and steps were not feeble and slow. Never been to a city where there was not sickness and pain and death. Never been to a city where the shades of night didn't settle and where men and women were facing up to anxieties, persecution, problem and peril, perplexity, and those vicissitudes of life that bring heartache and grief and despair to the soul. But this morning I report to you that I'm on my way to a city four square, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, street of pure gold, a city where decay never gnaws at fatalist beauty, where time never writes a wrinkle, and where death will never dig a grave, a city where they'll never call a doctor, for no one will ever get sick. They'll never call a funeral director, for no one will ever die. A city where eyes will never be dim, hearing will never be difficult, and steps will never be feeble and slow, where taxes and rent will never come due and have to be paid, where there'll never be one night of darkness. A city where they'll not shut the gates of it at all by day, for there'll be no night there, where they'll have no need of the sun or the moon, for the Lord God is the lamp and the light thereof. I've determined that I'm going to see what's inside that city. But until as I wait for His coming or for His call, I intend to enjoy the attributes of this inheritance while I live. right here on this earth. I'm glad to tell you, you don't have to wait till you cross the boundary line of worlds to enjoy the benefits and all the attributes of this inheritance that He's made available to us by and through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died an ignominious death at Calvary's cross, that you and I might be redeemed from a life of sin so that we could walk in newness of life. Notice, if you will, in this passage that I read, He gives to us in detail, in specific measure, some of these benefits that are ours as we wait for His coming or for His call. Notice the text says, to an inheritance that fadeth not away. This inheritance is a powerful inheritance. Notice in the word, in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. A powerful inheritance. That is the benefit that you and I have as we face a world that's filled with sin and with despair and with antagonism and skepticism and modernism on every side. You and I sometimes, no doubt, have been made to feel that we're not sufficient and we do not have the various areas that will hold us up and give us sustenance and strength in the various things of life that we encounter. In fact, beloved, I'm sure that many of you in this great audience have been made to feel at times that you've reached the end of yourself and there was no way out. In fact, we have some people that are doomsday predictors that make us feel that we're on the losing side of this thing and we're fighting a losing battle. I don't know what side you're on, but I'm on the winning side. I'm on the side, beloved, of victory. The God that I serve is still on the throne, and in spite of all of the things that you and I are facing these days, I'm glad that Paul gave us the assurance in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when the members of the church at Ephesus came to Paul, when Paul spoke to them about the mysteries that surrounded them concerning the will of God, and they said, Paul, we'd like to know more about the mystery of His will. He said, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that He might grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you might be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the height, length, depth, and breadth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to Him be glory in the church, world without end. Amen. And this morning you and I can be a recipient of this divine power. It's an unseen power. It's a power, beloved, that you and I cannot muster up or generate ourselves, but there's a great loving Lord that sits on the throne this morning that has promised us that sustenance and that strength that we need in these days, beloved, to overcome the power of the tempter. I know I've been prone at time to listen to the enemy, and he would like to drive us in a corner and make us feel like we're on the losing side, but I'm not going to allow him to cause me, and if you'll allow me to use the terminology, to look down my nose, so to speak, and make me feel that I am on the losing side. I can testify this morning that I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day, who are kept by the power of God. But it is not only a powerful inheritance, but it is a joyful inheritance. Notice, beloved, in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And beloved, today it is a joyful inheritance. And if you'll study the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter and verse 10, the prophet said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And in John 15:11, Jesus Christ prayed, "I pray that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full." And in 1 Peter 1:18, he talks about a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And my friends, if you've been to Calvary, if you know the blessing of sins forgiven, if you have the peace of God that's within your soul today that makes you know that you're no longer a foreigner and a stranger and an alien to the commonwealth of Israel, but a naturalized citizen of the kingdom of God, that ought to generate something down in the inner recesses of your soul that make you to rejoice in the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. It is a joyful inheritance. And my friends, hear me, I intend to keep on enjoying the joyfulness of it as long as He gives me breath. I was preaching a year ago in the South Carolina District Camp Meeting of the Church of the Nazarene, and I made a statement in one of my messages on one of the morning services that the Master said, "If you don't praise me, these rocks will cry out." And that night in the service, my time to preach again, we had a great altar service, and a big man, 6'4" tall, he looked like he weighed 250 pounds, he made his way to that altar and draped himself over the place of prayer and wept his way to Calvary, prayed through in the old-fashioned way, and got up and stirred that congregation with his testimony. He said, "Brother Loman said this morning that if we didn't praise the Lord, that the rocks would cry out, that the stones would cry out." And he said, "I didn't have anything to praise the Lord for. I was just a mediocre church member, but I made up my mind that I was going to get something in my soul in this camp meeting that would give me a degree of praise and something to rejoice over." And he said, "I'm not going to let the rocks do my praising. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to enjoy the joys of the overflow." And now, my friends, I'm not advocating a lot of man-made emotion, and I'm not talking about fleshly emotionalism, but I'll tell you, friend, today we've been so quiet about this thing. We've swallowed our amens and choked down our hallelujahs and sat down on our glories until a lot of people are not enjoying their religion. And if you don't have the kind of religion that brings joy, I'd check up and find out what's blocking the channel of blessing and the area of communication. You can know something about the joy that thrills the soul. It is a joyful inheritance. I remember some time ago when I kind of got beside myself a little bit, and I do that once in a while. A woman came up to me and she said, "You got excited, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, and I think it's time you're getting excited too." She said, "Well, I don't believe in shouting." I said, "Well, I wouldn't either if I didn't have something to shout about. That's the thing that makes a difference." She said, "Well, you were so unethical." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I studied ethics. I try to be ethical." She said, "Yeah, but you detoured." I said, "Yes, I did that on purpose." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because some folks gotten so far off the main road, you have to detour to get to where they're living." One reason a lot of people not enjoying good old-fashioned salvation is because they lived on the detour too long. Thank God you can get on the main line. You can get over there where you can know His presence and the thrill of His abiding presence within your heart. Oh, beloved, hear me. In the face of manifold temptations, thank God it's still a joyful inheritance. And I'm not going to imply that you're free from temptation. None of us are. But temptation is not sin. It's when you yield to temptation that it becomes sin. And the thing that ought to cause you to praise the Lord beyond measure is the fact that in the midst of manifold temptation, He has provided all the grace and all the courage and all the strength that you'll ever have to retain the joy of the Lord within your heart in the face of every vicissitude that you encounter in life. Bless your heart, beloved. Job encountered so much more than you and I ever faced. When he had to sit on an ash pile in the backyard and his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He said, "You talk like a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And when his three sobering neighbors, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, pointed an accusing finger at him, he said, "I know it's dark." He said, "You're a bunch of forgers of lies. You're a bunch of physicians of no value." He said, "I go forward, he's not there. I go backward, he's not there. To my right and my left, I can't behold him. But the Lord knows the way I take, and when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold." And ladies and gentlemen, you can have something in your heart that'll hold you steady, and you can retain the joy in the midst of all the temptation and the trial that you encounter. It's a powerful inheritance. It's a joyful inheritance. But it is a believing inheritance. Notice in verse 8, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And my friends, a believing inheritance implies a dynamic faith. Hebrews 11:6, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." A believing inheritance. You say, "But Brother Loman, there's a lot of it I don't understand. A lot of it I don't understand either." But I told you the other day, beloved, I thank God every day I live for the part that I do understand. And I have a thrill in my soul because I got a faith that believes all of it I don't understand.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.